Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is great to see everyone here this morning, and it is a joy to be together as family and the church of God, the people of God, gathering together for worship is why we're here. And it's also, we're here because God loves us, and so what a joy to be together. A couple of announcements before we begin our time of singing. Anyone notice there's a flower on the altar? Brenda's a new grandma. Brenda back there in the corner. Yes, she had a little baby girl. Her daughter had a little baby girl named Josie. So your son had a girl, sorry. Your daughter-in-law too, But her name's Josie, and she's already smiling. So she will show you pictures. She's precious. So I want to make a point to notice that. Also, I think there's been a notice in the bulletin about praying for the purpose team. Please continue to do so. We are meeting this week. And then just two Christian education announcements. We are needing a few more Sunday school teachers for next year. If you aren't going to get nudged here in the next few weeks, you might get a personal ask. So, but please be praying. That is a beautiful and wonderful opportunity to teach our kids. So if you are thinking about that, or if the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, maybe that could be me, you never know. So talk to Mary about that if you have questions, or anyone else on the CE team. And then Vacation Bible School is going to be happening in August. There is a team that's being formed, right? And so that is if you want to be part of that committee, is that what the announcement is for? So if you want to be part of planning Vacation Bible School, it's not till August, so there's all kinds of time to plan. And there's a lot of things that are kind of up in the air. We're not sure how we're going to do it, how many days it will be, when it will be, the night or during the day. So if you'd like to be part of and have a say in that, make sure to let someone on the CE board know, because your input is 100% valuable. So as a preparation for us to gather, standing together in worship and in song, I want to read from Psalm 105. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, proclaim his goodness, tell the nations what he has done. Sing praise to the Lord, tell the wonderful things he has done. Be glad that we belong to him. Let all who worship him rejoice." Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, and I'll invite the praise team up as we begin to sing songs.
Come to the fountain.
Christ is my firm foundation.
Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the way that you are trustworthy, the way that we can have a faith in you because of who you are and because of what you've done and because of what you are doing. Lord, I pray that our service today continues to be glorifying and honoring to you and to you alone. Amen. All right, take your hymnals out and turn with me to number 23, O Worship the King. We're just going to sing the first three verses of this one. So number 23 in your blue hymnals. Jessica, up to do the reading and hearing, responding of the word.
Hear and respond to the word. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.
For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink.
I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me.
I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.
Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink?
When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?
The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.
I want to invite the ushers to come forward. As giving is an act of worship, it's why we put it in our worship service in the first place. And so give with all of your heart as you feel led.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, these good gifts that you have given us, we dedicate to your service that this church has been called to do. Lord, may we use it well, may we use it wisely, according to your will alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
We all start on
before we open up God's word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you we can come to the table, that we have been invited to it. So Lord, may we keep that in mind as we open up the word today, as we ask for your guidance and your direction. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Amen. So we are in the middle of the Bless series, which is teaching what it means to give us practical opportunities, practical ways of reaching out to the people in our lives that don't know Jesus, without an agenda, though, other than to just bless them. It treats people not as projects, but as people who need relationships, people to be in relationship with. Because people no longer inherently trust the idea of church, but they are willing to trust people who are willing to invest time and be in relationship with them. So the Blessed series, as a reminder, it's about five things, beginning with prayer. We already covered that. Listening with care, we covered that last week. And then eating together, that's today. And then serving with love, and then sharing our story, which we'll cover in the next 2 weeks. So today is about eating together. Now, this is not something that we have a hard time with as a church. We do it every single Sunday. We do it quite a bit. We break bread together. And we often do a lot of things with other people that involve food. So we understand kind of automatically that eating together is valuable. But today I want to talk about what we have a tendency to practice, to gravitate towards eating together. But I also want to challenge you to not just break bread with your church family, but with those that you have committed to praying for when we started this series, the people that are in that basket over there that I have been praying for and that hopefully that you have been praying for. So we're going to talk about this, why we gravitate towards this, why it's important in the story of all things Zacchaeus. Because in the story of Zacchaeus, we see that Jesus does three really great things that lead to this life-changing transformation of this sinful tax collector. The first thing he does is he sees Zacchaeus. The second thing he does is he invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house. And the third thing he does is he calls Zacchaeus to a new life. So turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. In the pew Bibles that we have, it should be on page 854. So we're on page 854 of the pew Bibles, but Luke 19, and we're just going to start at the beginning of the chapter, verse 1. Now, it's interesting that Luke has a lot of distinctive things about it as one of the four Gospels. And it's got one of the most detailed accounts of Jesus' birth. It also records the most parables, as all of the Gospels. It also records more food than any of the other Gospels. I didn't know that. I learned that this week, so I thought that was interesting. So, Luke chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, and he climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now, I want to stop here before we go in any further, and I want to have you notice something. If you grew up in the church, it's very possible that you grew up singing the song of Zacchaeus. A wee little man was he. Yeah, okay. He climbed to Jesus because he was short. He wants to see Jesus. And I had to look the song up this week because I couldn't remember the lyrics. And it says, he climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. And I couldn't help but wonder, when do we ever look up in trees when we're walking and heading somewhere? Jesus would have been surrounded by people. He was, wherever he went, he was surrounded by a group of people. So right away, we see that Jesus notices Zacchaeus. He saw him. And I got a little more curious about what a sycamore tree looked like. And since Google is a wonderful resource, I asked Ruth to find a picture of a sycamore tree to put in the bulletin for you. And that's what that picture is there for. And there's a reason why I had to put it in there. They were really, really bushy trees at the top. This is not a little palm tree like you would normally associate with that part of the world. They're bushy trees. They would have been easy to stay hidden in. Now, I can't speak to Zacchaeus' state of mind. That's not shared in the text. But we know he was a chief tax collector. This means he wasn't paid. He was not paid by the Roman Empire. Instead, he got his income from the pool of taxes that he collected himself. And chief tax collectors were known to be cheats. There was no one keeping them accountable. And so we know that Zacchaeus was one of those from verse 7. And the Pharisees called him a sinner. It's a catch-all term back then, used to describe anyone who wasn't religious or involved. And if they were involved in some kind of illicit lifestyle, they were called sinners. So that said, I'm imagining that part of what was going through Zacchaeus' mind was that he didn't want to be in that crowd and have anybody see him because he wasn't well liked. So I'm guessing maybe he climbed up in that tree so he could stay hidden. But he still wanted to see Jesus. I couldn't help but wonder if he picked that tree intentionally. But we all know that we can't hide from Jesus. Zacchaeus means clean and pure in Hebrew. In knowing him by name and calling him out of hiding, Jesus calls Zacchaeus to return to himself. Because Jesus saw Zacchaeus and invites himself over. That's what happens next in the story. He was the one who saw the sinners, the non-religious, the cast out from society people. He saw them, and he even sought them out and offered them what they needed. Well, what did Zacchaeus need? He needed an invitation. So let's look at verses 5 and 6. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. When I was in the fifth grade, one of the girls in my class was having a birthday party, and I wasn't invited. Our class was really small. I think there was about 18 of us at the time. So we all knew each other's business. And birthday parties for young girls, they're everything, right? So the party, the aspect of the music, the dancing, the decorations, the cake, it was everything to a young girl. But mostly important, though, was the people who came to the party. Now, in a small town, in a small class, it was kind of an unspoken rule that you invited everyone to birthday parties. And so when Mary didn't invite me, I was devastated. It was a very spoken rule in my house that I had to include everyone in my birthday party, so I had invited Mary to all of my past birthday parties, and here she was not inviting me. And she actually came to talk to me about it. She told me that her mom would only allow 5 girls. Well, there were 8 in our class, including Mary herself, so I was one of 2 not invited. And I tried to understand, but it's impossible not to be hurt, to not be one of the 2 that's picked. And that's because an invitation communicates that we belong. And I want this church to be the kind of place where everyone feels like they belong. And that's not just my vision. I feel like that I already kind of walked into that. And that's not just my vision because I want to heal old childhood hurts because Mary didn't invite me to her birthday party. It's my vision because I want people to come into the doors of Covenant Church of Thomaston and people feel invited, and they come to the doors, and they sit in this sanctuary, and they sing these songs, and then they listen to the pastor to talk about the Bible for 30 minutes, but then I want them to feel like there's a place for them here. Like, you're invited to go downstairs and have cookies and coffee and goodies that are brought every week by the people who sign up. You're invited to break bread with us, and not just on Communion Sunday, every Sunday. We want to be that kind of a church. I want us to be that kind of a church. Because every way that we can communicate that invitation of belonging makes this church better and it makes this community better. And each one of us has the opportunity and the availability to do this. Because it's likely that none of us have ever thought about the theology of sharing a meal together. And I think there's something intensely practical about fellowship, the fellowship time that we have after worship. It's something that I notice on Sundays when we're sharing laugh, we're sharing life together. We enjoy each other. And this is an invitation for anyone who hasn't come. Like, if you have never come to fellowship time, come down there, please do. It's one of the ways that we get to know each other more and enjoy each other. And a lot of Jesus's ministry centered around meals. He performed his very first miracle at a wedding feast. He turned water into wine. He fed 5,000 plus people on a hillside when they were following him and learning from him. He had a meal with his closest friends right before he died. And after the resurrection, he had breakfast with them on the beach. Jesus chose Matthew, a tax collector, to be his disciple, and he ate at Matthew's house. And then several other tax collectors and sinners joined the meal. And the Pharisees judged Jesus for eating with sinners. Regular tax collectors were the scum of the earth because they worked for the Roman Empire, because that oppressed the people in the town. Most Jews were considered traitors because they would overcharge their own people. They were visible but rarely spoken to, not unlike the beggars and the widows. And here was Jesus inviting himself over to Zacchaeus' house. He said, I must come to your house. In that period, in that culture, eating together was a statement. It was a statement of friendship, a statement of acceptance. It was an affirmation of the other person's value and worth and dignity. Because who you ate with indicated who you loved. It indicated social class. By inviting himself over to Zacchaeus' house, Jesus was telling the culture of the time that there was this man who had cheated all these people, even more than a regular tax collector, that man was worthy of his friendship and his presence. Because invitation communicates belonging. And the Bible talks about belonging quite a bit. I want to read from Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. It says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. For some of you, that might drive a tiny little stake of fear in your heart, because belonging to others is a scary thought. And I think that happens for a couple of reasons. First, we live in a country where individualism is the highest good. Autonomy is king in America. You do you, I'll do me. This communicates that what we do doesn't affect each other, but it does. And we know this because we've experienced joy when someone we love has a victory in their life. We have experienced pain and grief when someone we know has a loss. We experience betrayal when someone that we love does something that you never thought that they would do. We are tied to one another in ways that we don't want to be. And this bond is stronger in the family of God because we all have Jesus in common. And we're bound to him because of what he did for us. As Christians, we have this deeper bond. And this is why when people are hurt by the church, it's a hurt like no other. And this is exactly why we need to be and want to be the kind of church that opens wide its doors to make each person feel like they belong. Jesus did it over and over again with the people that he encountered in Scripture. And he did that for Zacchaeus when he invited himself over to his house. Henry Nouwen writes this, when we invite friends for a meal, we do much more than offer them food for their bodies. We offer friendship, good conversation, intimacy, closeness. When we say, help yourself, take some food, don't be shy, have another glass, we offer our guests not only our food and our drink, but ourselves. A spiritual bond grows and we become food and drink for one another. There's something equally nourishing about being in the presence of one who loves you and cares for you than there is if you're enjoying a bowl of soup and some bread together. One nourishes the body, the other nourishes our soul. In the simple act of inviting himself over, Jesus gives Zacchaeus a place to feel like he belongs. And we can do the same by inviting each other over for a meal, a cup of coffee, or whatever it looks like to bless others. Very simply. It doesn't have to be complicated. But see, Jesus didn't stop there. Because after that invitation, and Zacchaeus welcomed him, there's still more to the story. So let's look at verses 8 through 10. Excuse me. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I have half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Notice that Jesus doesn't tell him the gospel. He doesn't say, believe in me, or if he did, it's not recorded, which tells us that's not the point of the story. Zacchaeus knew he needed to change his ways, and being in the presence of Jesus brought this willingness to take that step. The point of the story is that Zacchaeus experiences this life transformation because of what Jesus did. And that's the third point of our story today, that Jesus calls Zacchaeus to a new life. No longer was Zacchaeus' primary identity to be a chief tax collector. When he repents, Jesus calls him a son of Abraham, saying that salvation has come to this house. And the Abraham that Jesus is talking about is the one that God called to be the father of all of God's people, calling him to leave his house and to go to the land of Canaan, the land that he would give his people. So when Jesus calls the chief tax collector a son of Abraham, he's calling him to a new identity. He's no longer his own. But now, in his declaration of repentance to give it all back times however much, he's saying he belonged to God. He's beginning this new life, this new identity, because he's been changed by this encounter with Jesus. Now, as we read earlier in Romans, being part of the family is people who belong to God. It also means we belong to one another. And we all have something to offer one another. And that's why Eat Together is part of the Blessed series. We all have something to offer one another. Christians to other Christians to non-Christians, non-Christians to Christians. Consider the simplicity of sitting down over a snack or a meal with someone who doesn't know Jesus. It's the perfect opportunity to embrace the common things that brings you together, hunger and thirst. It's an opportunity to listen well, like we talked about last week, and to make someone feel heard. Now, we may not like to have people in our homes, and I get that. We often think it's not nice enough, or maybe we don't think we're good enough cooks. But the food you offer to others doesn't have to be anything out of ordinary or special. Let your presence be the out of ordinary thing. Open up a can of Campbell's soup with some crackers and cheese and call it good. We may worry we won't know what to say, so we're afraid to ask someone over for a coffee or for a meal, but what an opportunity to listen, to learn the person's story, see where they're coming from in their life, to ask them questions, to get to know them, to be curious. We also often think we don't have time. Some weeks it feels like we barely have enough time to eat with our own families. But think about it this way. Eating is already in your schedule. We eat 21 times a month if we eat 3 meals a day. Eating's already in our schedule. It doesn't have to be a big fancy dinner party with a perfectly clean house. When I think about my most memorable times with people over a meal or a snack or coffee, I remember how they made me feel, not how clean their house looked. We already have eating on our schedule in some form or another, so it's not like we're adding something to our schedule. We're not going to be doing something that we're already going to be doing. And if this idea scares you, I get it. Ask someone you know to come and do it with you. Invite 3 or 4 people over for coffee to have dinner. You don't have to be the only host or the host at all. You can reach out and ask for help with that part. I know lots of extremely hospitable people who would do it with you. It's likely you already know someone who naturally has this gift. Now, we as a church, we're not to be this purity system to expose sin. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Nor are we simply a place to learn information. The church is to be a rescue mission. We strive to push back the effects of the fall, the effects of sin. And we can do that in very small ways by just inviting people to have a meal with us, inviting people to come to the table. But we have to be willing to get out of our comfort zones. We must decide that our discomfort is worth it, which is really just deciding that our comfort, our discomfort, is actually not worth as much as blessing another person by inviting them over. Because when we invite someone, we're communicating to that person that they belong. When Jesus invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house, he was communicating to Zacchaeus and everyone around him who could hear that Zacchaeus was worth having a meal with. And this leads to his rescue from sin and into the light of knowing Jesus and spending eternity with him. a small gesture that did so much. But the small gesture communicates a really big truth. So my question for you today is, what's preventing you from inviting someone over or inviting someone out to coffee, to lunch, to your house? Whatever that obstacle is, I want to pray for each one of us right now that the Lord overcomes that obstacle. Because we learn to see there's so many possibilities when we think, how can I just bless someone? Because blessing others is so much bigger than those obstacles that we have. And so I'm going to spend some time praying right now for each one of us to overcome all those obstacles that we see in front of us and have the Lord just open our hearts to that possibility. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love the simplicity of just eat together. I love how powerful it is, though, just to learn that it meant belonging to Zacchaeus and to realize it means the same to us today. So, Lord, all the reasons we have in our hearts, whether it's discomfort or fear or concern for time, Lord, I pray that we're able to set those aside, that you overcome them. Lord, I pray that you remind each one of us that it is worth the discomfort and the struggle to be able to bless someone that you have made in your image. Lord, teach us to get out of our comfort zones, to be willing to do the hard thing, the different thing, the strange thing, and listen to someone's story as we break bread together. I pray for those things to be overcome in each one of our lives, each one of our hearts, each one of our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. So lift out your hands and receive this blessing, because the Lord has called each one of us to love each other and to love him. And so go this day remembering that he is in your presence. He is ever with you. You leave this place today with his blessing, with his love and his care, to get out of comfort zones and to do what he's called us to do, which is to love others. Go in peace and have a wonderful week. Amen.